I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Former U.S. Attorney Matt Whitaker is here with us now. He knows James Comey. He was, of course, watching yesterday's hearings alongside the rest of the world. And Mr. Whitaker, thank you very much for taking out some time to chat with us this morning on Mornings on the Mall.
Glad I could be with you this morning.
So what was your big takeaway? We'll just rush right into that from the hearing yesterday.
You know, my big takeaway is that it depended which side or who you were cheering for as to how it turned out. Because I spent a lot of time yesterday on CNN, and I was amazed at my other panelists and what they saw versus what I saw. And I come at it from more of a nonpartisan sort of looking at both sides and trying to evaluate the behavior of everybody.
Yes.
Instead of just sort of I'm cheering for the president or I'm cheering for Jim Comey or the Democrats, or I was just trying to watch it in an objective manner. I was stunned by how quickly kind of both sides got their talking points out. It was just a battle of
for sure
of trying to drive a narrative through.
So as a former U.S. attorney, you must have some sense, though, of whether or not we're closer to an obstruction of justice case after yesterday's testimony or further from it. How do you feel about that?
There is no criminal obstruction of justice charge to be had here. There's just the evidence is weak. No reasonable prosecutor would bring a case on what we know right now. And because it all boils down to what was the president's intent, and we really don't have any evidence of what the president's intent was. The investigation continues on. He didn't stop it. It's not stopped. And so ultimately, it is a question for the politicians and the public to decide whether they think something nefarious happened. But there's no criminal case that could be substantiated on these facts. No matter how good of a witness Jim Comey appears to be, and he was very impressive yesterday.
Along those lines, when he told us about Loretta Lynch ordering him to refer to the email investigation as a matter, that just seemed so dicey to me. Am I reading more into that than there is to be there?
No, I think you're. I mean, it is certainly the prerogative. The Attorney General Loretta Lynch was his boss at the time. I think it. Jim provided some color on that. That it was very concerning that sort of the messaging of the Clinton presidential campaign had kind of worked its way through the Attorney General into him. Ultimately, it is a big deal if you're under FBI investigation. And so those words, and I know the Clinton campaign at the time was trying to avoid using those words. The bigger concerning thing was when Jim was talking about the meeting of President Clinton and then Attorney General Loretta Lynch on the tarmac, I think in Phoenix or Denver, somewhere like that, where they met for about a half an hour, and why that then propelled him to do what he did back last summer in announcing the reasons for declining the prosecution of Hillary Clinton and her associates.
I wonder about Jim Comey and sort of the position he takes when he confronts an administration. We've seen him in the past confront the Bush administration. He threatened to resign over domestic spying, but then he was pressured by Loretta Lynch. He went along with her plot, despite the fact that he expressed discomfort with it, to speak in political terms about the Hillary Clinton investigation. And ultimately, in the course of this Trump matter, to borrow his phrase, he talked about, I felt like he was trying to pressure me to drop an investigation, but I didn't do anything about it. And by the way, if I had the choice, I'd still be the FBI director today. That all led me to react to be like, he sort of has a shifting standard for what he considers to be the honorable thing to do, no?
Yeah, you know, I know Jim Comey. I know him to be a good public servant. I think he has, you know, a heart for public service. I think he's, you know, done a lot of important and impressive things throughout the course of his career. But, you know, as I was listening to him yesterday, you did hear a little bit of his kind of ideas for political survival when you start off the election investigating both major party candidates and you're trying to navigate those waters safely to keep a job that, you know, quite frankly, he really enjoyed. I think he liked being FBI director. I'm sure it is a great gig here in the nation's capital. And so I kind of could see where he was trying to make his moves in response to not only a shifting political environment, but also a president that is at times a little unpredictable.
What was your reaction when you heard him very put it right out there, forthrightly say, I leaked the memo to the New York Times? He leaked a memo with a conversation with a president to the New York Times.
Yeah, well, I mean, that just shows you, A, how sophisticated he is and how he was able to get his message out. I think it also, the thing that worried me the most is that how he could retain those files. Because
yes,
when I left the Department of Justice, I left with just the clothes on my back. I did not take any files. I didn't take any notes. And it was a little concerning for me that he would prepare his kind of work product in these memos, recording his present sense impression of his conversations with the president, and then he would leave with those or copies of those.
Right.
Matt, almost like a Sandy Berger style, you know, stuffed in his pants.
Matt Whitaker, let me dive into that for a moment. He yesterday said that these were personal documents. Now, let's be clear about this. James Comey didn't end up in the Oval Office because he won a contest. He's the FBI director. He's there specifically because he's talking to the President of the United States in the course of his job, and he considers those documents to be personal. Did he say that because classifying it as personal would help him evade any sort of legal ramification?
That's exactly. I mean, I think that was probably a point that was not been explored as much because of all the other noise that's been surrounding this. But I mean, that is an interesting analysis because they are clearly business documents that he prepared in the course of his job as FBI director, you know, related to his business. I mean, you cannot say that discussing the Flynn investigation was not directly related to his job, among other things. And so, I mean, I think this is going to be something that, you know, kind of like I started talking about at the beginning, you know, kind of serious-minded, independent folks that are only interested in what's the real truth here are going to really start drilling down on did he have a right to remove those documents? And if he didn't, you know, what does that mean?
We have 20 seconds. Do you sense that Comey is in any legal peril? Forget Trump for a moment. Is there any legal peril from yesterday's remarks?
No, Jim Comey is in no legal peril.
Okay, there you go.
Interesting. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This is Matt Whitaker. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. He is the executive director for the Foundation for Accountability and Civic Trust. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great morning, too.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.